Well, the new right to disconnect rules take effect from today. What does it mean? Well, it means, for starters, that any company, any business that is inordinately hassling staff members, or maybe not even inordinately, maybe just, you know, one rogue email sent at 10 o'clock at night can be enough for you to incur the attention of this new legislation, which means that companies can face fines of up to $18,000. Now, the implementation of the law has got a lot of attention, but I think that a lot of businesses won't know that today's the day that it starts, and also what it will mean for them. To walk us through this, we're joined now by Natasha Hawker, who's the Managing Director of Employee Matters. She's a national expert on HR and industrial issues. Natasha, good morning. Can you give us a sort of sense of what are the scenarios that businesses are going to now need to avoid?
Yes, welcome. Thank you. So a couple of things. I think, you know, this is a change of culture and it's going to require some changes around how we communicate with our team. So I think from a business owner's perspective, a lot of times they don't even know how much their managers are contacting their people. So that's why I suggest that it'd be a really good idea to start with a survey and find out what that is. But, you know, in essence, what comes into effect today for businesses with employees of 15 and over is that your employees have the right to refuse to monitor, read, or even respond to contacts from you or your managers or even your clients or suppliers. So, you know, for businesses, how are they going to manage that when their client gets ignored? So there's a lot of ramifications that need to be thought through.
Who will decide whether you're in breach of the laws or not? Will it be the Fair Work Commission? Like, would an employee have to go, look, I've collated a bit of a dossier here, I've been sent 15 emails over the past 3 months, all of them at 9, 10 o'clock at night and some on a Saturday, and then is it a Fair Work Commission matter?
Yeah, it could be. So the idea here is that actually the employee has the right, it's a workplace right, and they would exercise that right and say, sorry, you're contacting me and you shouldn't. Now, the aim is with the legislation that it's resolved amicably at the workplace. If that doesn't happen, either party, either the employee or the business, can raise that with Fair Work. Again, they're going to try and conciliate, but I think you're already hearing with me, there's a lot of time being wasted already because this hasn't been sorted in advance. And then they, if the employer continues to ignore that, then Fair Work can actually make financial orders. So there's a couple of things around what is reasonable. How was the contact made? What was the level of disruption? What was the reason? So it's perfectly reasonable for someone to call an employee to say, hey, Fred's not coming into work today. I really need you to cover that shift. That's reasonable. But if somebody's contacting somebody at 9 o'clock at night just to talk how the project's going, when it could have been done in office hours, that could be deemed not reasonable.
It was the original impetus, Natasha, for this, and I think this is a subtle but important distinction, to provide an outlet for employees who were upset with how often they've been contacted, or was it to protect them in the event they were sacked or not promoted or something because of their failure to respond out of hours?
I think it's both. So I think a lot of this has come about because our stress claims through workers' comp are going through the roof. So we are noticing that people are more, it used to be an RSI or a repetitive strain injury, now the growing claims are actually under stress. So that's the big part. We've also seen a blurring of the lines with COVID, you know, where people worked from home and also technology because everyone's so accessible. Your phone is very hard to ignore and it's very easy to flick a message. But I think there are some workers that do need protections here, but there are also some workers that really want this flexibility. Think about those people with caring responsibilities. They actually want to be able to go and pick the kids up at 3 and they're very happy to log on at 8 o'clock at night. That can happen with the changes. It just needs to be agreed and communicated and then just documented.
Well, to that point about the rise in working from home, is there a risk with this that it could be a situation where some employees are trying to have their cake and eat it too, where you think you want all the benefits of working from home, i.e. the flexibility that you referred to, but if you get an email after 5 o'clock, you can't say, well, I'm working from home, so I'm not really going to start doing any work till like 10:30 in the morning or something. But then if you get an email at 5:30 or 6, you know, it's a bit of a double standard, isn't it?
And this is where the communication is so key. For the first time ever, we've got 5 generations of workers in the workplace. And I can tell you what, there was a survey done by Robert Half, which is a large recruitment agency, and they surveyed 1,000 people, and 87% of those employees said they were regularly contacted outside hours. And here's the thing, the millennials are very comfortable pushing back. 75% said they're very happy to ignore, where only the least comfortable were Gen X, where 64% of them weren't comfortable. And there is that bit, well, in my day, we did it this way. Why won't they accept? They obviously don't want that promotion. So we need to be very careful, because if people are discriminated against and could run an argument to say, hey, you sacked me because I exercised my workplace right, you could be in some big trouble.
One of our listeners, Lachlan in Morphett Vale, Natasha, he's texted in saying, if a company does get fined, who gets the money?
It goes to Fair Work. But there also could be potentially, and we don't know how this is going to play out because it's very new, but we did have an instance where there was a personal injury that was done before this legislation and not part of this legislation, but I think it gives us a clue. There was a worker that was on sick leave. She was contacted multiple times, over seven times. They were even threatening a police check, and that was deemed to be unreasonable. She got 10 months back pay in that case. And an additional compensation. So, again, we don't know how it's going to play out, but there could be penalty orders to the individual, and also Fair Work could charge you, and that goes to Fair Work.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. Natasha Hawker, thank you so much for joining us, the Managing Director of Employee Matters. Thank you. So from today...
David Penberthy and Will Goodings, 6 to 9, 5AA Breakfast.